See? If we knew some of the background, if we knew something that went along with that, it makes it so much more easy for us to visualize or to understand or see. So we read, and I'm not going to turn there, but we read in the 21st chapter of Acts that Paul was arrested, that he was beaten, that he was bound with chains in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel, for preaching that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and arose again on the third day, and then later on ascended into heaven, and Paul was preaching that gospel, and because of that he was arrested and beaten and placed in chains in the jail in Jerusalem. Then in the 23rd chapter of Acts, after Paul had made his appearance before the Sanhedrin court and had answered the questions that they had for him about his preaching, he was sent to Caesarea to stand trial before the governor, before Governor Felix. But while he was there, he found that there was no justice. Although he had done nothing wrong, there was no wrongdoing found in anything or determined against him. He was kept there in the prison house in Caesarea for 2 more years. Having been falsely accused, nothing wrong, and now in prison. And finally, when he realized he would receive no justice from Governor Felix, nor even from King Agrippa, Paul said, "I appeal to Caesar." I've stood behind the high court, stood before the high court of Israel, the Sanhedrin court, and you haven't found anything wrong, and yet you've kept me in chains. I've been before the governor, Felix, and before Agrippa, haven't found anything wrong, and yet I'm still bound in chains. And so I appeal to Caesar so that I can have my day in court. And so they decided to send Paul to stand before the emperor in Rome to have his day, to hear his case. And so in the 27th and 28th chapters of Acts, you find the journey. They put him on a ship, and all that transpired on that journey from Caesarea all the way to Rome. And when he arrives in Rome, they put him in prison, awaiting to have his day in court before the emperor. And they, after a while, realizing that he's not a threat to escape or whatever, while he's awaiting trial, they give him some freedom. And so he has a friend, he has a brother that comes to visit him, a brother in Christ, that comes to visit him from the city of Colossae. His name was Epaphras. And while Epaphras is visiting with Paul in jail, they arrest Epaphras and put him in jail. And while they are together in jail, Epaphras talking to Paul about what was going on in the church in Colossae. Paul did not minister there, did not pioneer the church as far as we know. But this man Epaphras had a large part in getting the church started. And now he's in jail with Paul in Rome, in prison. And so Paul writes the letter. And he writes Ephesians. And he writes Colossians. And he sends these two letters by a man by the name of Tychicus. Take these letters and present them to the churches at Ephesus and Colossae. When he was writing this letter to the Colossians, Paul mentioned something that I want to preach about. He said, "There's a mystery. There's a doctrinal mystery that I want to share with you," he said, "about the Gentiles." First chapter of Colossians, verse number 26, that you have before you. "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." I want you to notice those three words, "Christ in you, which is the hope of glory." In Galatians chapter 2, you have turned there as well. Notice the 20th verse. Paul wrote this while he was in Corinth on his third visit. He wrote Galatians in the 20th verse of the second chapter. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I mentioned in the first chapter of Colossians three words, Christ in you. I want you to notice the four words here in this 20th verse of Galatians 2. Christ liveth in me. Then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. A well-known verse of Scripture. Verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. First of all, he said, Christ in you. Then he says, Christ liveth in me. Now we're saying, if any man be in Christ. And so there's an important truth that I would like to mention right at the outset of the sermon this morning. These verses that God wants us to understand, he wants us to comprehend. Listen closely, if you will, to be in Christ and to have Christ in you are one and the same. When you got saved, you got in Christ and Christ got in you. And as long as you stay saved, Christ will dwell in your heart. You will be in him and he will be in you. Thank God. Now I'm going to use the words as examples of two courses. Number 82 in our course book says, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer my life, but it's Christ's life living in me. When a person commits his life to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, Christ comes in. Amen, amen. Christ comes in to take up his abode. And remember what I say right now. He doesn't come into our heart just for a visit. He doesn't come into our heart just to spend the weekend. He doesn't come into our heart just for a short time, maybe for a week or so. He moves in. He takes up his abode. Hallelujah. He comes to stay. He comes to live within us. Amen, amen. This is not a trial thing. When I got saved, it's forever. Amen. I think some people get married on a trial basis. If it don't work out, we'll just divorce and go our ways. It's not that way with the Lord. Man, when I got saved, I made up my mind. I mentioned in Sunday school day, I made up my mind. I'm going to heaven. By the grace and help of God, whatever happens, whatever anyone else might do, I plan to go to heaven. And so the Bible tells me that it's no longer I, the course, and no longer I to live, but Christ that liveth in me. And remember, he doesn't come just for a short time. Second, of course, we sing the course, the children's course, into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus. I remember Christopher, and I mentioned this not long ago, when he was a young fellow, Christopher Lewis. When he stood up on that bench over there, about the second from the back maybe, or the back one, stood up on the bench and testified that he'd asked the Lord to come into his heart. A young boy asked the Lord to come into his heart. When people get saved, Jesus comes in. Aren't you glad that he did? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. It's like Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me give some illustration from 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Paul mentioned some believers that were babes in Christ. Now, let me just take a few moments of time to preach some doctrine. In the second and third chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul mentioned three kinds of people. The natural man, the spiritual man, and a babe in Christ. Three types. The natural man is the man that is without God, unsaved. The spiritual man is the man that has gotten saved and gone on with God and loves God and serving God and is thrilled to be a part of the kingdom of God. And the third is the babe in Christ. Hasn't made, maybe just got saved. Or maybe they haven't made very much progress and they're still babes rather than becoming mature. They're babes, but listen to this. They're still in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be a Christian. No one can be in Christ and be lost. Jot that down. No one can be in Christ and be lost. The cause to be in Christ is to have Christ in us. Amen. And so Paul says in that third chapter of 1 Corinthians, they're babes in Christ. In the 17th chapter of Acts, while preaching the sermon on Mars Hill, he has left Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea and come to Athens, and he's at Mars Hill, and he sees out there amongst the tombs, he sees a stone that was inscribed to the unknown God. The Athenians, they didn't want to leave out any God, and so they said, we'll worship this one and this one and this one, and in case there's another one that we don't know about, and so they worship the unknown God. And Paul stood up and they began to listen, and he said, let me tell you something, I know him. You call him unknown, but I know him. I know him personally. And Paul began to preach the message about the unknown God while he's there on Mars Hill in the city of Athens. And the Bible says Paul began to say these words while preaching about the unknown God. I know a man. He said, for in him, he said these words in the 17th chapter of Acts, for in him we live and move and have our being. Paul said that on Mars Hill, for in him, in Christ, he says, we live and move and have our being. In 2 Corinthians 12, he said, I knew a man in Christ called up to the third heaven. When speaking of the Lord's coming in 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, all the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let me say it one more time. Everyone that is in Christ is going to heaven. Amen. Mark that down. Everyone that is in Christ is going to heaven. When he comes at the rapture, the Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let me tell you who's going to be changed and caught up with them. Those that are alive in Christ. Those that are in Christ today, saved by the blood, walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. Again, let me say, whichever way you wish to express it, Christ in you, or you in Christ, they're still one and the same. It's great being a Christian. Amen. If any man be in Christ, and I'm going to come back to that part in Corinthians, chapter number 5, 2 Corinthians 5 that I read earlier. Let me read it one more time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I want to take four thoughts and preach from that scripture. He said, if any man be in Christ, I want to stop right there. I am glad the Holy Ghost anointed him to write these words. Any man. That includes any woman, any young person, any boy, or any girl. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that when he created Adam, male, when he created man, he created male and female, created he them. Women are included in that word man there. He says in that scripture, if any man, and I thought about that as I was preparing the sermon and praying, I am glad that he put it that way because that included me. Any man, any woman, any young person, any boy, any girl, anyone, what a Savior. We are hearing in this last hour, we're hearing a lot of false teaching. I know it's been around. The spirit of Antichrist was 2,000 years ago in the days when John wrote the epistles. I want you to know today we're living in a perilous hour. Paul said in the last days, be perilous times, and there's so many doctrines out there. So many people are being led astray by so many doctrines, so many things that capture the minds and the thinking of the people. I want everyone to understand today, if it does not line up with the Bible, discard it. Put it aside. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not God. All you need to know to go to heaven is outlined right here in the scriptures, and the Bible says if any man be in Christ, this salvation is not just for some select few. It's not just for some nationality or some race. It's not just for the wealthy. It's not just for someone that has climbed the ladder in academics or maybe the social ladder and come to a certain place of status in their lives. It's not for those that have accumulated wealth and now have a bank account. It's not just for those, it's for whosoever. Any man, aren't you glad? If any man, praise God, praise God. Man, that's enough to shout about. If any man, hallelujah, I thought about the golden text in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What's the next words? That whosoever, you know what it said? Any man. Whosoever. Hallelujah. Believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. I thank God that I'm one of the whosoever. Amen. I might just, I've preached long enough here and you've been here long enough to know some of my background. I was not raised in the palace. My folks were not high up in society. They were common people, farmers out of Carolina, raised on the farm. My daddy left the farm and went to town and learned how to barber, and he barbered on the first chair in each barber shop in Clinton, North Carolina before he moved to Virginia. He was a master barber. His brother came from Carolina and my daddy taught him to barber, and he went back to Goldsboro and he bought him a shop and he barbered until he was 90 years old. Sold his shop and then worked for the man that he sold it to until he was 90 years old. We didn't come from royalty. We didn't come from somebody's name that's in who and who. But I want you to know something today. Although I was born at home in the front bedroom in Clinton, North Carolina, and raised in Fox Hill, nothing to be proud of, nothing to be boasted about. But I'm glad of one thing. Paul said, if any man, that includes me, regardless of my background and who I am and who I ain't. That might not be good English, but if any man, he goes on to say, if any man be in Christ, any man, he says he's a new creature. And I like that. If any man repents of his sins, if any man gets saved, if any man turns his life over to God, the Bible says he is a new creature. He is a new creature. He's a new man, a new person in Christ. Let me use an illustration. I heard this a long time ago, and I want you to know that when you got saved, it was not like a repair job on an automobile. God didn't give you just a new engine or new tires. God didn't just give you a tune-up. There was a preacher preaching divine healing. And the people lined up to be prayed for. And as they would come before him when he was going to pray for them and anoint them, he would ask the question, what would you like for God to do? Or what need do you have? And finally a lady came to him and he asked her the same question. And she looked at him and said, I need a complete overhaul. Let me say something. God didn't save me by repairing me. He didn't save me by giving me a tune-up. He didn't save me by giving me an overhaul. He made me a new person. I drove off the lot with a new one. A new me. Amen. I'm afraid too many people just want a little bit of touching up, or tuning up, fixing up. But my God, my Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new man. He's a new person. Hallelujah. I like to hear Georgie Ott sing. He's already going on now. Sung with a cathedral quartet. I like to hear him sing that song about, I'm a new daddy now. I'm a new man. My son used to run and hide behind the door. The song says, when I came home because of my lifestyle and how mean I was. And he ran behind the door when I came home. But I said, son, come on out. You've got a new daddy now. I'm saved. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, I became a new person. And so did you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we went home from church that Sunday night, when I got saved, I was a new husband. I had a brand new wife. Brother, that's living. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Then he goes on to say, all things are passed away. Everyone is familiar with that statement or that phrase, passed away. Passed away means death. Brother Lewis mentioned this morning about his brother, elder brother, that was a Christian that's gone on to glory, that suffered, that's been in the hospital, been in the nursing home. And Brother Lewis mentioned him, and every time he's prayed, asked us to pray, he said, but he just loves God, he loves Jesus. Brother, that's what counts. And we understand to pass away means to die. Now he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have passed away. He's dead to the old things. Amen. If you haven't died out to the world, check your heart. You might not be in Christ. To be in Christ is to have Christ in you. And have Christ in you. He will not share the wrongdoing. One will have to go. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Let me just, I don't know your life. I don't know how it was with you, but let me just, and I'm not proud to say some things, but I'll tell you one thing that passes away. Old things is vocabulary. When God saves a man, he cleans up his mouth. I believe old things are passed away, old habits. Old things that were keeping you from serving God. Old things that were hindering you. They're gone, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. No longer with you. They're gone. They had to go. When Jesus comes in, they have to go. We used to sing the chorus. We sung it when we were in England. And that was in the middle 50s. We would have services on Sunday night once a month. Between the Assemblies of God church that we were attending and the Baptist church. That was the only other fundamental church in town that I can remember being there. And we didn't believe exactly alike, but there were plenty of people there that loved God and our people that loved God. And so one night or a month or every quarter, whatever it was, we would meet together at the Sunday night church. We would come together and fellowship one with another. Testify and sing choruses and just enjoy. It's all right for Pentecostals to enjoy Baptists. Amen. And for Baptists to enjoy fellowship with Pentecostals. Amen. And I remember singing, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I was going to try to rememberize the rest of it. And I surely am not going to try to sing it, but I can't rememberize the rest of it now. But I like the thought, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. If I can just pause for a moment. God didn't put them under the rug. God didn't hide them behind the door. They have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. Satan will bring them up, but he's a liar. People will bring them up. There'll be other, even your own thoughts sometimes will remember some things like that, but God doesn't remember them. He's cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. Keep that in mind, brother. We've got something to rejoice about this morning. If any man be in Christ, all things are passed away. And finally he says, and behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. I said my old vocabulary passed away, but God gave me a new one. I don't have to bite my tongue every day. I don't have to bite my tongue once a month. I don't have to bite my tongue once a year to hold back some evil thought or some evil word because it's not in there. Amen. Everybody can say amen. If Jesus is in there, such things will not be there. All things have become new. Your love becomes new for your companion, for your family members, for the church family, for even your enemies. Your love is more than it's ever been. Jesus comes in, and the Bible says in the 4th chapter of 1 John that God is love. And when God comes in, He fills your heart with love. And when Jesus Christ is in your heart, and love is in your heart, you can love everybody. Whatever they do. They might undercut you. They might lie about you. They might say things that they... But you can love them anyhow.
Yes,
thank God. Thank God. Jesus loved me when I was thought to be unlovable. He loved me anyhow. If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Even our friends. I thought about that so often. I can remember when I was in sin, I had a buddy. His name was Fred Godsey. He was out of Kentucky. He was a close friend. We were buddies. I've had some other friends like Howard Whitley and many others that we were close, and we said some things. When we retire, we're going to stay in contact. If I get shipped out and go there, and you go there, and we all separate, when we retire, we're going to get together. We're going to have us a good time. We're just going to really have a good time. Isn't it amazing when I got saved? I wasn't interested about a good time with Howard and with Fred Godsey or anyone else. After I got retired or got saved, I wasn't interested in what they were thinking about. I was interested in serving God. He says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. God gave us a new life. I don't know how it was with you, but when I got up the next day, it might not have been so strong in my mind, but it seemed like everything was different. Is that the way you felt? Everything was different. And come to find out, everything was the same but me. I was the one that was different. I've heard people say the birds were singing better. And the flowers were more beautiful. And the grass was greener. And this and this and this. But really, what happened was I was a new creature. In Christ Jesus. And so if you want to see things in a better light, let Jesus Christ be there. That's the answer. If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Now, I'm not preaching on holiness right now, but let me just leave this with you. I really believe this. I believe when Christ comes in and people shout out to God, I believe some things even in the wardrobe goes. We had a lady get saved in Arizona, and some things were happening, and she was doing very well for a while, and then she missed church. And so the ladies went to visit her, and as they were talking, she mentioned this and this and this. And rather than putting some things aside and throwing them away, she'd put them in a drawer just in case I go back. Now, brother, I'm not thinking about going back. I'm thinking about going up. If any man be in Christ, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I am a new man. The Lord has come into my heart. The love of God is filled my soul. I love Him today with everything I have. I'm a new man in Christ. And when my wife and I left the altar, February 1955, and went back to our seats, and then went home, and I say this as humbly as I know how, it was that day that I really learned what love is. We'd been married a year. I thought I loved my wife, and I can tell you that I did as far as I knew. We were living in Idaho. But the night I got saved and she got saved right beside me, there was a love there that had never been there before. When He comes in, He's love. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Paul said, I knew a man in Christ. It's those that are in Christ that have the joy and the victory. I'm going to read one other scripture and I'm going to wind down. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Before I read it, I left out one verse that I'll bring to your attention and then read Ephesians. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The next verse is this, if any man, hear my voice, will open the door, I will come in
if any man will come in. And one final scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Four things, and I'm going to close. There was a time when these, that Paul is writing to in Ephesus, there was a time when they were without Christ. And remember, the man without Christ is a man that is lost. Then he says they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. They were not included in the blessings of the chosen people of God. They were not a part of the seed of Abraham. They were not a part of the blessing that God had promised Abraham and his offspring. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the covenants of God. Thirdly, he said they have had no hope. Having no hope. I'll stop right there. No doubt one of the darkest statements or thoughts in the entire Bible. No hope. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Not a part of the promises of the covenants. Separated from God. No hope. No hope. My God, help us to realize this morning what it means. And then he says, finally, they're without God in the world. And I close this morning. The man that is without God in this world will be without God in the hereafter. How many have been deceived, believing that if I know God, if I know about God, if I die, I'm going to heaven. It'll take more than knowing about God. It'll take knowing Him in your heart. If any man be in Christ. And I thought of this last part that he's saying, without hope. No hope. Without God in this world. How many are living, even today, our loved ones, without God in this world? And when it comes down to the end, the man that's without God in this world will be without God in the hereafter. I'm going to leave a word of encouragement, Brother Lou, and we're going to pray. One of the greatest thoughts that you have this morning is the fact you're going to see your brother again. He died in the Lord. Christ in him and him in Christ. You have a hope that there's going to be a reunion because he served God and made it. And you're serving God, and by God's help, you're going to make it. What a thought! How about this? No hope. Without God. What a tragedy. And this is the part that I mentioned as my wife has come to the piano. We're going to sing a chorus and we're going to pray. When God made Adam and then Eve, on down the line, when you came along and I came along, God made us with a free will. Not a person here today got saved because they had to. Not a person in this congregation today, nor anyone that's ever been inside that door, has ever come to this sanctuary, was saved because God made them get saved. Everyone that's been saved is because they had a free will and they accepted the Lord. God wants everyone to be saved. But no one has been forced to get saved. And so, I thought this morning as we pray, we ought to thank God for a free will. We ought to thank God that He's given us the choice. And he says, if any man, I've got a number, honey, but I can't remember what it is. He says, if Matthew, he says, if Carl, or Tom, or Tommy, or you ladies, or men, all men, every one of you, if anyone, and we had a free will and we said yes to the Lord. I thought this morning, if you're saved, if you know God, as we pray together, you ought to thank God for being so merciful. I could have been in hell except for the mercies of God. I look back. It was February 1953.
I purchased an automobile, my first automobile. I'd come back from Japan. I purchased it in January. Now it's February. And with three other men in the car one night, I rolled the automobile on Highway 11 in California. And a tragedy. It's terrible. I ended up in the hospital and I said, God, one man looked like he's going to die. His head was swollen up. He was the one sitting in the front seat beside me. Gauze, had gauze stuck inside of his head to absorb the blood. Head was swollen up. They thought he was going to die. I prayed. I was a sinner, a backslider. I prayed and said, God, if you'll spare Mac, if you'll spare his life, my commanding officer had already been to the hospital and let me know that if he died, they were going to press manslaughter charges against me. I prayed and asked God, God, if you let Mac die, I promise you when I get out of this hospital, I'll serve you. February 1953, Travis Air Force Base in California. I got out of the hospital. God spared Mac's life. And I didn't get saved for 2 more years. For the next year, I was unmarried and living an ungodly life. And God, I made Him a promise at any time I could have ended up in eternity, but for the grace of God. And you are here this morning because of the grace of God. And if any man hear my voice and will open the door, he said, I will come in unto him and will sup with him. If you're saved this morning, you've got something to rejoice about. You've got something to thank God about. Would you stand together with me? I don't know the lives of everyone. I haven't heard the testimony of everyone. I just don't know. That's between you and God. But there's one thing that I would like to mention today. If you do not know Him as your Savior, you have a free choice, a free will. God has blessed you with a free will. It's up to you. If you do not know Him right now, you can know Him.